This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So if you missed the big announcement earlier in the week, we announced that there were going to be a myriad of former Ravens experts joining Stan White and Jerry Sandusky in the broadcast booth, Justin Forsett, Dennis Pitta, Todd Heap, and our next guest you'll hear coming up, Jared Johnson, who is, he's just one of the greatest dudes in the world. He could be aloof. He could be distant. He's got the money. He's got the acclaim. He's got the ring.
Not in his character.
Not in his character. Not in
nope.
his character.
That's why we love him.
That's why I love the dude to death. I want to go on one of these fishing excursions with him, but I feel like it might mess our friendship up. Because if I went out there, I know in 2 hours, I'd start throwing up.
He'd know what a wuss you are.
Well, he already knows what a wuss I am, but I don't think he quite knows how deep it goes. I think he thinks that this wussy well is only about 6 feet deep when it's more like a mile or two. So,
yeah, but then again, like we just said, he's not the kind of guy where that would... He wouldn't write anybody off, you know what I mean? He'd be like, oh, that's cool, bro. It's cool.
You spend a couple of hours on a boat with me pitching
and
a bitch.
You would need to, though, because I know that sometimes, you know, I don't want to say you have a hard time with this, but like you would have to know that throughout the course of your relationship moving forward, that would be a point of ball busting.
Oh, yeah. For forever.
Pretty much
forever.
Every single time.
You know, Justin, you make a great point, but remember that one time you acted like a bitch when we were going
yes.
carp fishing? Like,
that
yes, I do,
definitely
Jared.
Have
great
it.
Point. I'll shut up now. Yeah. Jared Johnson's one of the best to do it. Can't wait to hear him in the booth for the regular season alongside Jerry and Stan. And he joined us with a hilarious story about forgetting that he was mic'd up on Behind the Curtain.
Got Jared Johnson in studio. He is
part of the new Baltimore Ravens broadcast team.
Hell
right here on
yes.
98 Rock, the flagship.
He is.
The Baltimore Ravens. He's going to be in the booth with Jerry Sandusky and Stan Weiss. You will be doing weeks 13 through 16, so a little bit later in the season. We got Dennis Pitta, Todd Heap, Justin Forsett, and Jared Johnson. Yeah, baby.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Very nice. Very nice. Those interviews, I believe, are up at our SoundCloud, 99line.com. We had a chance to talk to you. We had a chance to talk to Todd Heap. I believe the Afternoon Drive show, Kirk, Marianne, Michael, if I'm not mistaken, also talked to Dennis Pitta.
Yeah.
And that information is up at 98onlines.com.
And you had a very busy weekend. You've been in
yeah.
town since, what, Thursday or
yeah,
Friday?
No, I got in Friday morning.
And then Friday you were at the state fair, correct?
I went to the fair, do the lotto drawing, Maryland lotto.
And then our boss Rick told us something about you did on Saturday with the... With the practice, that did you do that? Did that work out?
Are you talking about where we announced to the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The kids that played at halftime, we went to Arbutus, I guess it's middle school.
Mm-hmm. And, but they knew nothing about this,
no,
right?
So the parents did. We didn't just, like, kidnap the kids.
Obviously,
get on the bus, kid.
A large go Floridian just took my daughter.
So the parents are in the know. The kids have
the
no
coaches
idea.
Know.
You
yeah.
go down to Arbutus school.
They're warming up. They think they're about to play, like, right now. And we pull up in a bus, and we got cheerleaders and Poe and this big blow-up thing that they run through. And we go out and announce to them that they're not playing right now, that we're going to get on the bus, and we're going to the stadium.
And they're going to play at
halftime. Yeah, they went. The kids were phenomenal.
That's so
the coach
cool.
is so funny, man. It's one of the things that I do not miss about football. The coaches are absolutely going crazy. One of the coaches wasn't so bad.
Oh, the coaches didn't know either, or they
no,
did?
No, no, no. They knew, but you know, coaches are so into like stay focused and get ready and game face all this stuff. And these kids, you know, they got these four cheerleaders and me, you know, coming towards them. These kids are just like they're just super pumped.
Yeah.
And actually more excited about the cheerleaders, by the way. But anyways.
yeah.
But the coach is just going crazy. You know, he's just, take a knee, put your helmet back.
Do you think he was hamming it up because you're there? Do you think he was putting a little extra layer of
mustard
on it?
No, no, no. I think he was just really hyped about the game. So.
Okay.
But yeah, they got to go out and play at halftime. It was great.
Speaking of which, I did the tailgate report, as I want to do during yeah. home games, and the cheerleader alumni.
Yeah.
Posted up 100 yeah. yards behind us. Now, these are the cheerleaders that used to be with the squad, yeah. are no longer.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Man.
Comparable to players who retire,
mm-hmm.
they often fluctuate some bigger, some smaller.
They
what are the cheerleaders
sometimes
doing?
Move on from their former selves.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
look like you could put pads on right now.
You dropped
we
some
have,
LBs.
We have DBs that have gained 80 pounds and linemen who've lost 100.
Gotcha. Guys,
what happens with the cheerleaders?
I mistook Tony Siragusa for a Walmart supercenter recently. I tried to park in front of him to go inside to get a 12-pack of sweatpants.
So the...
They held up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Real
yeah.
nice. Yeah. Now, okay. I will say, when I go to the grocery store, the very first place I go to is that shelf at the back with dented cans of soup.
Yep.
And the yesterday's fresh donuts.
That's your speed.
There were a few yesterday fresh donuts that still looked real edible. Real edible. Like that can of soup, okay, the label was torn and it expires in a few days, but...
I'm just barely keeping it together.
Yeah. I'll still dig into that Dentymore. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
You might have cheered 20 pounds ago, but you are just where I need you to be right now. Right now.
Joined in studio by former Baltimore Raven number 95, Jarrett Johnson, who's now part of the Ravens broadcast team here at 98 Rock alongside Jerry Sandusky and Stan White. He will be in the broadcast booth. Dennis Pitta is doing weeks 1 through 4. Todd Heap, weeks 5 through 8. Justin Forsett, 9 through 12. And Jarrett will bring up the rear.
Yeah, well,
the old caboose.
With games 13 through 16.
Give me your analysis. I mean, we already know how you think you're going to do, but you spent a lot of time with these guys. Either some of them you played with, you know, Todd Heap, Pitta. I don't believe you played with Forsett. You are in San Diego,
correct? Against him. Yeah,
you played against him.
Yeah.
But you know these guys' personalities.
Right.
How do you think that's going to translate to the booth for those two, Heap and Pitta?
This is something totally different than what any of us have done. I did 10 minutes in the booth on Saturday night, and yeah, I realized extremely quickly it's way different.
Oh, so this past Saturday,
I got in the booth with Brian Billick and Jerry,
and
it's a little tougher than I because here you ask a question, I can sit here and tell you a 2-minute story.
You got about.
I started telling this
seconds.
Story in like about every 15, 20 seconds, they were going, and so and so for a 6-yard gain. So back to you, Jerry. What were you saying? And I'd start my story, and then you'd lose your train of thought. And I realized you just got to shorten everything up, mm-hmm. make it real quick.
Wow.
And everything's off the cuff. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, I think the guys will, you know, they got 4 really good guys.
Absolutely.
You know, so we'll see.
It's like, let me ask you this. Being in the booth now and watching Jerry Sandusky and what he does and Stan, even when Stan comes in here for an interview, he comes in here with a stack of papers, his folder. He's got the Manila folder with all of the depth charts at the positions, and I'm like, it's super impressive.
Yeah, I know. As he's talking, it sounds so natural, and they're just flowing. If you're just listening to it,
right,
you just think he's sitting on a stool talking.
No,
but there's papers being shoved in his and he's reading. Oh, this so and so's friend. He went to Appalachian State. Third year player out of and then all of a sudden another piece of information is sliding and you got another dude in your headset talking to you that kind of creep. I'm like, whoa, where'd that guy come from?
Yeah, the little IFB, they put an earpiece in you.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing that so many people that listen to television news, broadcast news, us, sportscasts like that, don't realize. This happens a lot in wrestling and UFC. They got that little piece in there and there's a producer in the back. Cutting a break in 10, cutting a break in 5, cutting a break in 2. Be sure to bring up the after party. Bring up the after party. You got a booger hanging out. Get that booger. Get the booger.
Well,
the booger is in high def.
You were in the booth, right? Obviously running the sound.
Yes, sir.
When Jarrett came by for 10 minutes?
Oh, well, no. We do a simulcast in preseason. So, I didn't directly work with Jarrett.
You did work directly with Paul Mittemeier, which we need to get into that situation.
Yeah, I wish he was in today.
We need to get into that sitch. Did you see the OCD Paul Mittemeier stack of Starburst?
Every game, too.
Oh, Mike and I were taking a run on him on Twitter, at JSS98Rock. Scroll down and get a look at this pile of food in front of him. He's making love to a hot dog. I want to feel the love that he is showing this hot dog at any point in my life to anything. My son, girlfriend, family, job. He has got this hot dog between his lips.
I can't tell you how happy I was when I caught that moment on camera.
Yeah, we were laying into his ass on there. I had a really good, you see, I had a good Newman meme there, Spiegel.
What?
I had a, this is a.
Newman,
this,
I love Newman.
There's Paul Middlemar.
Right, yeah, I saw that.
Bingo, and there we go. Yeah, yeah.
Newman in the mail truck with the fire.
Yes, the fresh fish on fire. Yeah. Well, it's going to be nice to have somebody up there that knows how to take care of themselves dietarily, because that is not our boy,
yeah,
Paul.
How do you eat? Like, how would you eat before a game, Jared? Like, what was your breakfast?
Usually pretty light. You know, depending on what time, if it was a 1 o'clock game or night game, whatever. But usually I eat pretty light. 1 o'clock games, I'd eat a pretty good breakfast, you know, just, I don't know, nothing crazy. It's kind of normal, but you're not going to eat again until, I don't know, what, 5 or 6 that afternoon?
Do you ever have to poop during a game?
Nah, I'm usually pretty good about getting that done before the game.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it.
I don't know if I should tell this story.
Yes, you should.
Man.
Take it away.
Okay, here we go. Damn it. Okay, here goes my broadcast career.
You'll be fine.
One time I was mic'd up, and they put the mic in your pads. So when you get there, it's already done. You don't even notice there. So you put your pads on. I forgot that I was mic'd
that
game.
Trust me, we've done things where we've set up cameras. Like, yeah. We're on camera every day.
Yeah.
But when somebody will walk in here and set up a camera right there, within a minute, you totally forget.
Forget about it. Yeah.
It's insane.
People have watched for the past 3 years my finger my nose every day 5 times.
So you're wired. It was for the show Wired or whatever.
Yeah, it was for our own show, you know, TV, Ravens production, whatever. So I'm mic'd. I go over the pregame, and I have a very active system, you know. And I had a routine got to get all my stuff done before the game, so that situation doesn't come up where I have to use a restroom at halftime. So, I probably ate a little too much breakfast that morning. Go out for a pregame warm up. My stomach's bothering me a little bit, so I come in and I use the restroom, you know. And I'm not gonna take my pads. I want you to get those things on. I'm not taking them off, you know. So I use the restroom. And
wait, long stay. Short stay or long stay?
I was in there for a little while, man.
Did you bring some reading material?
Yeah, definitely brought my phone with me.
Keep
so,
going.
Don't think anything of it. Go back out. Go do our announcement. Run out. And when I would get on the sidelines, the two girls that we used to have, that they would record when you said something interesting, they jot down the time or whatever. They're the only two that can hear you. They have the headsets on. When I get over the sideline,
two girls.
One of them is hysterically dying laughing, and the other one just looked
mortified.
Just like deer in the headlights, just staring at me like, this person is disgusting.
Oh, because you're in there all
not a human being.
Wait, so you realized what you had just done.
So then it
hits me. You're
not
even thinking about it, and then you look and you see them, and
when I see the boom over me the girls in the background, I was like, oh my God, I forgot to mic this game. And then I'm like, oh my God, I've been mic'd this entire time.
In the bathroom, doing work.
Let me ask you. I mean, I don't want to get too graphic here, but do you kind of remember what kind of stay it was? Was it just, you know, a normal? Was it a little bit more?
If you're in BWI Airport and you're walking by the stalls and you hear something coming out of one of those stalls, you're like, dude, that dude had a rough morning. You know what I'm saying?
It was one of those.
I was that guy in the stall. The girl was mortified, dude. She was.
Have you ever thought about this? That audio still exists.
It's still out there.
That is on a hard drive somewhere, homie.
We gotta get it.
Yes, there is some producer somewhere.
That should be my ringback tone.
There's a producer somewhere that pulls people into a back room during training. Like, all right, that's the monitor for the audio from the game. That's the. Hey, you want to hear something funny?
100%.
Hold on 1 second. Lock that door.
How many people have heard that, dude?
Right, they can hear like clack, 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 my cleats on the tile.
God.
The door slamming.
Freaking stupid Tucker's got my God, man. Okay. Stupid ass Hans Warbus. Dumb ass. I tell you what. If we don't make a play this year, swear to Christ. Quit riding my ass. I know how to block. I know how to block fine. Let's go. Tell me how to play football.
That's exactly what it is. And they have. You think it made it the email rounds?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Don't share this with anyone. And then it shared with everyone. Jared Johnson.
I
wish I had a picture of that girl's face, man.
There is a cash bounty on Jared somewhere in a bathroom stall. God, the Steelers making a Super Bowl season. I'm not even watching it. Stupid quinoa.
Quinoa. Jared does not eat quinoa.
Oh, my God. Jared, you, my friend, are... Buddy, thank you so much for hanging out.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
All the feels were felt on Wednesday talking about movies that made us cry as a kid because Scott showed Stella Free Willy. I can't think of anything we've shown the stepkids. Evan is really yet to see things that make him cry outside of like loud noises or other kids crying. If you had to, Lowell, thank you for coming in on a Saturday, by the way.
Yes.
If you had to, what do you think is going to be one of the films you show one of your young ones the way Scott has?
Or has Reed cried? Has he done that yet?
No, Reed's... I don't think he's quite old enough yet.
Emotionally dead inside.
I mean, he loves...
Because like that's what this was. This was kind of like the break was about...
Empathy.
Movies that made you cry as a kid. But then for me, it was there was a whole other level to this that I'm sitting there with Stella. And as the movie is wrapping up and she's witnessing the emotion that's happening and seeing the boy cry, I hear a whimpering and she's crying over there. And she actually vocalized and articulated to me that... sometimes when I watch a movie and I see people crying, people are sad, it makes me sad and I cry. And I was like, whoa, this is like, I just had a moment
with
my kid.
You're a small person. You're fully formed almost.
But your kid, nothing. Dead inside.
Not a thing.
He's 3 years old.
Yep.
He's 3 years old.
You got
Stella's
a real
like a
piece of work on your hands.
He's four.
There's a good chance you should check that kid's backpack for a weapon before you drop him off the playground.
Like, I'm sitting there watching Moana crying and he's like, Daddy, why are you crying?
Nothing. He looks over at you, pussy.
Pussy.
You should see what mom does when you're not around with you-know-who. Coming up, movies that made you cry as a kid. I'm behind the curtain. Bambi's mother. Optimus dying. Duke being stabbed by Serpentor. That childhood movie that really with you. What happened in your house yesterday?
Yeah, this was a, is probably nothing new to a lot of people out there and parents out there. But when you have a child and you reach, you know, some sort of milestone.
You have to show them John Carpenter's The Thing.
It's a big thing.
What?
And last night was a pretty interesting thing. It was kind of funny, but then it was also very insightful on my daughter's part. We watched, ran it back, the old 1990... Three, maybe? 1993 classic Free Willy. Remember Free Willy?
I remember
Free Willy. I didn't remember a lot about it. Do you remember? Tell me what you know about it.
I remember that they had
What was up with the little boy? Do you remember what was up with the little boy?
Was he special? Was he special needs?
No.
No. Maybe I just invented that
part.
There
was a lot of plot lines to this movie. It was a lot deeper than I remember.
He was born without an ass.
That is it.
That's it. I knew it. God, I'm good at movies. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And the whale didn't care. The whale accepted him. He said, I don't care that you don't have an ass. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to love your little assless ass.
I love your assless ass.
Hey, here's the trailer. Oh, they're chasing Willie.
Yeah, dude. Taken away.
Oh, they're calling
him. Imagine if the only person who knew how you felt was a boy who felt it too.
Oh, it's got Lori Petty in it, too.
Yeah, I forgot about Lori Petty. It had Mike Madsen was the dad. So, well, what it was he was a trouble boy.
Okay.
He was troubled. His mom just kind of left him, right? So the kid was running around doing bad things.
Letting him put his hand inside of a whale's mouth.
So he had that going on at home. He didn't, and then he was with the foster parents. And then he kind of found a friend in the whale, and he played the harmonica and the whale, you know, whatever. So he gets to know the whale, and then they're trying to kill the whale for money, and then they set the whale free. It was a whole, I thought it was just a whale thing, but the kid had stuff going on at home, too.
He was dealing with it.
It was a lot of layers to this
abandonment.
Thing. Yes. And then in the end, it all works out. The whale jumps over to rocks. Remember the whale jumped over?
That was the one famous shot.
Scene.
The kid's
the
reaching
scene.
Up.
Yes.
And the thing does the whole, I love you, Billy.
So it's happy at the end because the whale is free, but then it's also sad because the little boy is sad because he's not going to see Willie anymore. So the boy is crying. And we're watching this, and all of a sudden I hear a little something next to me. And it's a little whimpering going on the couch next to me.
What's
that? I said, "What? What's the matter?" And she,
that boy had no butt.
And she says, "Daddy, sometimes when I watch movies and people are sad in the movies and they're crying in the movies, it makes me sad." And I swear to God, she walked around the house for a half hour last night.
My chest
She's going upstairs. She's coming downstairs. She's going to the kitchen. All I hear is,
and she's just like moping around the house, just feeling it.
And I said, "What's the matter?" "I already told you that movie made me, the boy crying made me sad." And I was like, wow, that's kind of, she's, I don't know what that is, but she's tapping into like emotion here.
She feels she feels the emotion of the child, the moment a child feels. A woman like, identifies with, a man just headbutts a brick wall until we get our way, and a child feels. Evan, I'm not sure if this is more of an audio thing or the fact that he feels. If he just hears a kid crying, he just bursts into tears. It's super unsettling.
Yeah, but like for her to be able to also like vocalize and articulate what she was feeling, I was like, wow, it's pretty cool. But I was like, also, I was like, dude, it's just Free Willy. What are you doing?
Knock it off.
Knock it off. Like, this isn't even, like, she was weak. Like, and then, like, the whale was free. That's happy.
Yeah, and the director's cut, the whale is killed by a Japanese fishing vessel. It's fine.
And it was just interesting. At the end, she was sobbing, and I was just kind of sitting there chilling. I'm like, oh, cool, the whale's free. Yeah, boy's a little bit sad. And I look over, and she's, like, weeping, and she says, "Daddy, sometimes when I watch movies and I see people crying and people are sad, it makes me sad," which... I was like, wow, that's she's growing up. She's feeling stuff, which I'm not that bright, but a lot of listeners have informed me via the text that what she was experiencing was empathy. And I think it was one of the first times in her short little 4-year-old life that she actually experienced and articulated what she was feeling, and which was empathy, which was cool to see. But it was kind of like what...
you raised a good one. What would be scary is if she felt nothing.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad. What movies as a kid made you cry? And if you could just turn me up over here.
Please.
Because we watched Free Willy, which also came with a great soundtrack.
Oh.
Did you forget about this?
Yes!
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
At the end, when this kicked in, I was like, oh! Forgot about this. Forgot how great Free Willy was. 1993, Free Willy.
Oh, yes.
Hold me. Go ahead, Michael.
Like a river Jordan.
Oh, go ahead, Michael. R.I.P., Mike.
Happy birthday, buddy. Birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, happy belated birthday.
We would have turned 88.
How weird was that I watched Free Willy on Michael Jackson's birthday?
Serendipity.
And that this song was the theme song to Free Willy.
Meanwhile, in my house, I had freed my Willy.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yes. I was waiting for that joke.
It all works out.
Yeah.
We've gotten 47 of them since the beginning of this break.
Free Willy.
Pile on.
77, The Undertaker beat Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam back in the day. It destroyed him as a child that he was crying.
Mm.
Yeah, it's things when you're a kid, man.
What sets you off?
What sets you off? E.T.?
I was going to say E.T. did it for me.
Well, this person said the same thing happened to them when they watched E.T. with their daughter. The daughter cried when E.T. went back home.
Yeah.
And very sad. I remember weeping as a child to E.T.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is kind of tangential, but I remember watching Miss Teen USA as I was really young.
What?
And
what?
They showed it because my mom would always watch the pageant, so I watched it too. And they had this like whole long montage scene of like all the girls like having fun in the summer, and they were going to like a water park and doing all this
cried?
Stuff. And I wanted to be a part of that so badly that I remember for a week afterwards, I like couldn't center myself.
Yeah, dude. Stuff that will knock you off kilter as a kid.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Homeward Bound made my sister cry when the dog got stuck in the mud. I laughed at her for hours, it says.
You laughed at her for hours? Oh, my God. That is sinister as S. Do I need to go over this again? I mean, I will. It'll be the 17th time on the air I've done it. When Optimus turned gray, and they all stood around him, and Spike, one of the few human characters from Transformers, began to cry, and they drew tears on him, and like the other Transformers are crying. You're all robots. Like, what is that? Is that like window washer fluid?
Yeah, what's coming out?
What is that? Is that oil? Oh, and then he gave the Matrix the leadership to Ultra Magnus, and Ultra Magnus, he tried to put it in his chest, but it wouldn't fit because he wasn't the one that will carry us out of the darkness into the light. Oh, Christ. Oh!
For me, another movie that made me cry was Cocoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Remember Cocoon?
Oh, yeah, just thinking about being all that disgusting pool water with those old people.
Yeah.
Peeing everywhere.
I don't know if it was because I had a good relationship with my grandparents, and I remember watching it, and, like, you know, then I was kind of old enough to, like, know sort of what was going on, and I just remember, you know, it just being a very emotional movie.
Oh, my dear friend Shad, world's worst Muslim, world's sexiest one. That's actually her name, is the world's worst Muslim. She will put back a pound of bacon, not having to even have to be held at gunpoint to do so. B-movie. A lot of people checking about. Not B-movie, excuse me. My Girl. Sorry. Huge botch there. My Girl with the bees
yes,
at the end.
With the bees.
Oh, God, let's go to the phones. 410-338-1098. Let's go to
I want to hear weird things.
Yeah, let's get some standards and some regular. I'm looking at a weird one up here. Let's start with a standard. Everett, Severna Park, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
What's that?
Very well.
All right, so I saw The Lion King when I was really, really young. And during that time, my parents were already divorced. Things weren't really good with my mom and my stepfather. So my dad was, you know, the only real, you know, hero for me. So watching The Lion King with him, though, and then seeing Mufasa died, I'm just like, oh, no, you know, like my world is just torn apart right here, you know, like.
Dang.
Oh, God.
That's a rough one.
I was going to say, did it make it even more difficult because your dad threw your mother into a herd of stampeding buffalo?
Long live the king.
Yeah. And that's when Scar let go. And then they cut to Simba, who's watching his dad just get trampled to death. Here's a weird one. Let's go to Teresa in Lanham. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
I was devastated by Backdraft. At the end, when Kurt Russell dies, I just thought, oh, my God, he can't die.
Well, I haven't seen Backdraft. So
spoiler alert.
Well, thanks.
Please, that movie's from, like, 1928.
No, Snake Plissken! I'm thinking, like, you know, My Girl. I'm thinking the beginning scenes from Up.
Hey.
I'm thinking the end of Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah, the end of Toy Story. But we were older already, but still crying.
Didn't matter. It didn't care what age you were. If you felt nothing at the end of Toy Story 3, they need to send you to Abu Ghraib because you are a sleeper cell.
Yes.
Something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Let's go to, I don't remember this movie making me cry, but I did enjoy it. Good morning, Joe, Baltimore.
Hey, what's going on? Morning.
Morning.
Okay, so what had happened was I was probably maybe 7, 8 years old. I was still pretty young, and I just had a little sister, you know, born. And when the baby was stolen, like, for some reason, it just made me cry, and I kept, like, being so sad, thinking that, like, my little sister was going to get stolen.
Right,
and
yes.
She was. And so, like, and even to this day, like, that movie still creeps me out. It makes me just feel like I have to call my dad. I have to call somebody, tell them I love them, because they could disappear at any time if I say the right words, which they right now.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Here's a weird one. James says there was a Chuck Norris movie as a kid. I think it was called The Hitman. There was a scene where I saw a horse carriage get shot in a drive-by during a mob hit, and it was really emotional for me watching the horse get killed.
Oh, my.
That's
just weird things as a kid will set you off, man.
Yeah, just a scene in a movie. I remember one from my own house, and this is a comedy. My brother crying at the woman getting hit on the movie Airplane when they all lined up and they were taking turns slapping her. They're like, why are they hitting her over and over again? I'm like, it's kind of comedy. In 2017, wouldn't fly, but at the time, everyone lining up with baseball bats and brass knuckles to attack this hysterical woman. Let's go to Jack in Severn. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, sir.
Hey, so I was 12, and I watched Forrest Gump for the first time.
Oh, Mike, that's a big one for Mike.
I am 34 now.
With the Jenny,
that movie still makes me cry.
With Jenny and all that.
Yeah, the grave scene. Oh,
and the middle where Jenny, you know, is in the mall. She runs in the water. That's the first scene, and the last scene when she bites the dust, dude.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a tough one.
You know what got me from that scene is when he and his little Forrest Gump son both cocked their heads to the right.
Oh, right.
Oh, you're like, oh, no, the kid's messed up, too. Oh, no.
Don't forget his mom dying, too. That was rough.
You know what? That didn't mess with you that much because she the teacher. That kind of balanced it out.
She did it for him, though.
I know she did it for him. I mean, I'd the teacher for Evan to get him into the regular classes. But just that kind of balanced out her dying. I was like, it's sad that she's gone. But I remember the principal, like, zipping his pants up, being like, your mama sure does love you.
Yeah.
Dripping with post-sex sweat.
There's so many points in that movie, like when she's all, like, throws the rocks at the house and he goes, sometimes there aren't enough rocks. You know, when she's like she's mad that she was abused by her father and she's like throwing, you know, she has like a breakdown.
She's throwing the rocks at the memory of her perverted father pulling her inside of the house. Which, if you've ever read the book, they go into way more horrifying detail about.
Yeah.
Don't read that.
We're getting one on text here over and over again. The never ending story when the horse gets stuck.
Oh, God, Atreyu!
Yeah.
Atreyu!
The texts are getting flooded with this. This was the moment that destroyed many childhoods.
Do you remember where he drowned in?
It says he got stuck
the
in the
bog of eternal sadness. Was that it?
Something. Or was it quicksand? I don't know.
Am I right there?
Never-ending story when the horse died in the quicksand. Here's another one. Never-ending story when the horse got stuck. Never-ending story when the horse got stuck in the nothing, it says. I don't know, but they're coming in left and right.
I'm thinking of the bog of eternal sadness.
A lot of childhood.
This is the bog of eternal stench is in Labyrinth, which was just funny because if you fell in it, you just stunk forever, but you'd be okay. The swamp of sadness. You saw a horse drown in quicksand while a child is incapable of saving said horse. And here we go. No, oh. No.
Come on, Artex.
Oh.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
The horse ain't moving.
I gotta see this.
You haven't seen this? Oh, what? This is a day ruiner. So that's Atreyu.
Come on. What's the matter?
Okay, heads up. This swamp, if you're in it, it just makes you sad. And if you get too sad, you have to like happy your way out of the swamp. And if you let the sadness overtake you, you will drown and die.
Oh my God.
So not only is the horse drowning, it's sad.
Not to mention, as a kid, quicksand was very, seemed like a real palpable threat in my life.
Yes.
Yeah, quicksand was everywhere.
Cartoons and everything.
You'd always we're jumping forward.
For me.
Oh.
You're my friend.
Oh.
My friend. I love you. I love you.
Oh, you, man. I'm gonna start crying.
The effing music, too?
Oh! And then it pans to black, and it shows the kid walking through the swamp covered in muck because he couldn't save his depressed horse.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So Mike was almost beaten and sexually assaulted by a group of harlots who were looking to Shanghai him. Take him into an alley, beat him down, maybe chloroform him, throw him onto a yacht.
We still don't know for sure their true motives.
I know their motives.
I still like to believe that they did want to bed me down and enjoy me for the night.
Well, give me some percentages that there's a group of five African-American women, correct?
Correct.
And they saw you and said, that's the guy we want to have.
Yeah, maybe like, all right, we're hitting Bourbon Street. We're going to find a white dude with curly hair. It looks unassuming.
Oh, there he is.
And we're going to take him back here, and we're going to, you know, have our way with him.
We're looking for a dude with great arms, iffy self-confidence, but just curls for days. How do we get on top of that?
I mean, that's not impossible.
Give me the percentage.
Give
me your percentage. I say 50% Rob, 40% prostitution, 5% just want to have their way with me. And then another 5% sex trafficking.
I'm still not convinced that they were women.
It's not a 5% chance.
I bet one of them in that crew was packing between the legs. Yeah. There was a ringleader that had a dog.
There was one that was taller than I was.
Yeah, then there you go, man.
You got Adam's apple, too?
You got some large, crying game-looking, deep-voiced baritone blonde that's about to plunge a screwdriver into you. I mean, what we'll ask you, I mean, it's obvious guys will go out and these gross, sexual, feral packs looking to hook up. But, Stace, as in all of your younger years, I know you're married now, but like in your high school, college, out of college days, did you ever just gather up with a bunch of ladies
and
to go sexually prowl the streets?
As much as I know you guys would love to think that we
that. Why?
All the time.
Yes, all right. There we go.
Yeah. Always
sexual predator Stacey Lynn joining
guy
us.
Like Mike.
Mike almost got shanghaied into the flesh trade coming up on Behind the Curtain. Because, Michael, you were in New Orleans, and you were down there getting real dirty.
Well, you know, I was there, but I don't know if we were getting dirty.
You
but,
were getting dirty.
You certainly can get dirty down in New Orleans on Bourbon Street. That is...
Never been there.
Oh,
never been to New Orleans?
No, I'm going, though, in October.
Oh, man. If you need a sugary drink and a bacterial infection, may I suggest...
Yeah, you've never experienced it dirty until you've walked down Bourbon Street
on
a...
fun dirty?
It's fun, but Mike's not kidding. You have the Garden District, okay, which is very beautiful,
right,
kind of where Anne Rice lives. Then you have Bourbon Street. And then outside of that... Yeah. It's the wasteland.
Black Hawk Down.
Yes.
Do not leave those two streets.
No, do not. That's the one area you want to go. After that, it's just Immortan Joe. It's Fury Road. It's Imperial Furiosa. It's a weird town that's a bit of a lie on paper. Once you leave the touristy district, you're going to have an organ harvest.
And I'm telling you, you get hit with a different odor every 5 feet. It is a cornucopia of funk.
Remember the year? God, you weren't there, Mike. You weren't. I don't believe you were with us. Were you doing Ravens broadcast duties
During the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You weren't with the crew. We didn't all partner up. It's myself, Steve Huber, who's going to hopefully join us a little later on the show. Maybe you can back this up. It's myself, Steve Huber, this awesome guy that doesn't work anymore. His name's TJ. And TJ, we used to hang with because he was like a 6'4" African-American.
Oh, I remember that guy. Yeah,
this dude, he was the coolest dude in the world, but he was so intimidating physically that we could walk into bars that we would otherwise not walk into, and Tej would keep us safe. And we all accidentally go down a set of steps and end up in what appeared to be a bondage club.
Wow.
That there, we saw someone walk by us.
Accidentally.
Stay for 2 hours.
I'm wearing like a wolf t-shirt, acid wash jeans. Steve's got a big, tall, sugary drink, and then someone wearing nothing but latex and something shoved in their mouth that looked to be like a gourd walked by. And we're like, we'll stay for a drink. We'll see what happens. 2 sex acts later, we're like, it's time to go. Yeah, New Orleans has got some, it's got some sketch to it.
Yeah, I remember on Bourbon Street, there's that strip club where there's a woman whoever's dancing, her silhouette is shown through to Bourbon Street.
Yes, you know what I'm talking about? Like a red light district.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like you can kind of see the outline of the sexiness. And Mike, let's do a quick pull through.
Sure.
Tease what happened to you. We'll get to it out of sports.
Let's just say it all began when a group of women approached and surrounded me.
Ooh, Mike Anderson. There you were. New Orleans. The city that never sleeps, they call it. City of Lights.
Just got back this
morning. That's right. What time did you get in?
Plane landed at 3:30.
Okay.
Took off a little after midnight.
Well,
got some sleep on the plane.
Yeah, you're a lot fresher than I thought you'd be, considering the show that we have today coming up. So you send me a text last night. How comfortable are you with me reading this stuff?
Oh, yeah, you can go ahead.
Are you sure? All right. Let me see here real quick. Do, and here we are. I said, Mike, see you tomorrow. Wheels are in motion for a great event helping out everyone in Houston. You say, tired, but I'll be there. On another note, I was almost raped and robbed by a group of women on Bourbon Street.
You were not raped.
He was almost.
Joe, here,
almost.
I've even told the story yet. So we go to Bourbon Street and get some dinner, get a daiquiri, of course, because that's half of the alcoholic beverages sold on Bourbon Street.
Okay.
So when in Rome, yeah, we got a daiquiri. I got some other drinks as well, but before we headed back, I realized another friend of mine that I'd grown up with was on Bourbon Street, too. So I'm like, hey, you know, go ahead and head back to the hotel, Johnny. I'm going to grab a drink with my friend here that I haven't seen in years. So I grab a few drinks with him and his girlfriend. And then
Mike's old friend is a prostitute from New Orleans.
And then I exit the bar on the Bourbon Street, and I'm standing there with my phone, and I'm pulling up my Uber app to get an Uber back to the hotel, when all of a sudden I'm surrounded by a bunch of women.
Whoa.
How many?
Like five or six.
Were they really women?
No, I'm pretty sure the majority were.
So some were questionable.
Four of
them. I don't know. Like I said, it was such a blur, and it was such a... It happened so suddenly.
Head scratcher about the one with a penis. Right. Yeah.
And the first woman like that kind of comes up in front of me is like, hey, where are you going? What are you doing tonight? And I'm like, I'm getting ready to head on back. And then before I know it, her hand's on my crotch.
Whoa.
And, I mean, she's getting in there.
She's moving some product around.
Yeah, and
she's
the other women are like, hey, come on back. Come hang with us. Let's get some drinks.
How many women total?
Like I said, probably five or six. It was hard to tell. It was such a blur.
The hottest ones, scale from 1 to 10.
They were all pretty attractive.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
And
minus the penises.
Yeah.
That was their least appealing part.
Hey, sailor.
But after a couple of daiquiris, what do you know?
So she's got her hand all up on your John Thomas.
And my first thought was,
nice.
If a hand goes in one of my pockets, I'm going to start windmilling these women. Because my first thought was they're going to try to jack me.
And by that, you mean rob.
Yeah, robbery.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for the clarification.
And then I'm like, maybe they're prostitutes. Sure. But I'm like, they're not dressed like prostitutes at all.
A lot of guys can jack it.
And the ego of me started to think, maybe they do want a piece of Mike Anderson.
Maybe I'm just looking that good.
That's highly unlikely, obviously. But part of me wanted to believe that maybe they wanted to take me back to their hotel.
But just this prowling, sexually feral group of women. Ladies, I don't care what it takes. Tonight, we are going to grab a hold of and we go rock that junk.
So, like, I'm having this internal, well, A, I'm not going to go anywhere with them. I'm in a relationship. And I need to get back to the hotel room to wake up for a broadcast the next day. So I'm not going anywhere. But there's this weird internal struggle where I'm like, Am I about to get robbed and killed, or are these just some, you know, innocuous women that want to get a drink?
There are a lot of people around you?
Yes, no. I mean, it's a weeknight on Bourbon Street, so it's not your typical packed Bourbon Street.
Couple of quick questions. What time was it?
This is probably roughly around midnight.
Okay, so it's the witching hour. Where are you in location to a streetlight and or an alley? Could you have been easily whisked into a side street somewhere?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Shanked, rolled, and left for dead, bleeding out into a gutter?
Easily, yep. And the groping increased.
Whoa.
And again,
moved to other parts.
Uh-huh. As a guy, this never happens. This never happens to you. So I was kind of frozen in bewilderment at the time. Until my friend, thank God.
You can touch my penis if you like.
My friend Chris came back and grabbed me by the arm. I was like, let's go. And pulled me out of there and snapped me out of it.
Did they like reach for you like a pack of walkers on the walking dead? Did they try and clutch your shirt?
They
were
still holding on to it. So weird. Yeah, they're like, it was like a pack of zombies.
Wild.
But my friend Chris, thank God, saved my life and pulled me out of the pack. And I got out of there and I ran home.
Did you, Did you Mad Lib the situation?
Did you
back
imagine
in your
it later? Yeah.
Did you imagine it going much, much better? Dear Penthouse Forum, it was a night unlike any other night, but I could tell something special was up.
Yeah, again, even to this moment, I'm still like, what
did
were their intentions? And I even went on, like, I Googled, like, pack of women, grab man on Bourbon Street. Like, is this like some sort of some sort of slick move that these people do to...
Are they going to get... Because there's stories of this in Vegas, Atlantic City, Reno, where you get some uggo, some four or five, some real hideous-looking son of a bitch. Like, take Joe, for example. You get Joe, and then you get a bunch of these, like, you know, Lindsey Vonn-looking women surrounding him out of nowhere. And they start taking a shine to you, come back to our hotel.
Yeah, I smell a rat.
Yeah, something's up.
I'm like, oh, well, this happens to me a lot.
Oh, throw me a... Oh, I got a pen. This happened to a friend of ours.
Hold on.
Micah, while he's writing that down, I'm going to ask you a question.
Here, I got it right here. I got it right here. Remember this dude? Remember that guy right there?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, you? I don't think you ever met him. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
That happened, and he went along with it and went back to the hotel and got taken for a big ride.
Yeah, not that, Mike, not that you're not like a hot piece of A, and I think that they probably, you know, could have been attracted to you. This was definitely a scam.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah. No.
Six women didn't want you.
I mean, just let me believe, I mean, a little bit. Safe.
It's a possibility.
They well, start, you know, fighting over Mike.
I get them first.
Maybe they were transgenders, and I am kind of androgynous, so I'm kind of like in their
what?
Wheelhouse.
What?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What, you think you look like a girl?
We're looking to do a little
rolling in the deep.
Yeah.
The one that grabbed your crotch. Can you describe her? Is there a celebrity that she resembles?
She was very small.
Tay Diggs.
Wesley Snipes. Oh, gotcha.
Sean Connery in 1965.
The one thing that was really going at me was she was a smaller African American woman.
Yeah.
Like, and Jada again, Pinkett?
Like, yeah. Okay. A little less hot than Jada, but like I said, they were all very attractive and they were all in kind of like plain street clothes. That's what kind of threw me off. They didn't look like your typical prostitutes or criminals.
Why do you say you're androgynous looking?
I mean, you're kind of like
a, back to that.
You're like in a really good shape for a twink.
Like, if I put makeup on, I think I'd be a pretty good cross-dresser is what I'm trying to say.
You'd have to shave that goatee. Like, if you were clean-shaven and you let me really take care of your hair, I've dressed up before. I think I could get you looking pretty passable.
Yeah, I don't look like a John Wayne face. I don't look like Clint Eastwood. I'm further away from that them on the spectrum.
Mike, go with that. I think Stace is hitting on you, brother.
But I think we're all in agreement.
I don't look like John Wayne.
Yeah. Mike was definitely going to get rolled, though. You were definitely getting taken back to some shady pay-by-the-hour hotel.
But I'm telling you, it was like hypnotic. And again, like as a man, like you're never groped or touched. So when it does happen, it's hard not to sit there and let it happen. Is what I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
You're kind of like in a hypnotic trance.
Yeah, a woman is going to tase you. She's going to call her boyfriend over to throw spinning elbow strikes on you. We're deer in headlights. I mean, you saw it happen at that food truck festival when that one woman went to go take a group of photo with all of us, and she just shoved her hand down my pants and grabbed it. I locked up.
Yeah, I'm even like, if you don't want it, you can't help but let it happen.
I wanted it. Wow, Mike. You had to feel kind of good, though.
I mean, you kind of enjoyed it.
You're kind of a mark. You're a target.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the same time, it felt good, but at the same time, they were going to try to probably rob me and slit my throat, so I don't know.
Besides all that.
Worth it.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Hey, quick update. Got myself some peppermint oil.
Yeah.
Bought it off of Amazon. Got some peppermint oil because I got a spider problem. You're about to move to the county, Scott. Actually, you just did a day ago.
Allegedly.
Allegedly to the county. Scott's moving to Manassas, Virginia. You, Lowell, where you live, are you a... What's your spider sitch like?
Yeah, I'm in Carroll County. Lots of spiders.
Everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Big ones, juicy ones, ones that if they run on hardwood, you can hear. A lot of people said you grab peppermint oil. One thing I did hear, though, you've got to keep it away from cats. If they, like, lap up peppermint oil, it's like, what's the stuff that makes you puke if you drink it immediately?
Epicac.
It's Epicac for a cat.
Wait, you know what else that oil's good for, peppermint oil? Do you use a razor, like a foam?
Like a Mach 3 on my face?
Yeah, like a Mach 3 on my face. If you put a little cup and put the razor in the peppermint oil, it keeps the blades... from deteriorating, it makes the.
I feel like you're screwing with me, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to shave a layer of skin off, and it's going to burn like a mother. Oh God!
You know what else it's really good for? You rub it on your hands like this.
Okay.
And you just rub it all over your balls.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. Now we're making sense here.
And
yeah, Mike, if you get a little and you rub it back here prior to our favorite type of intercourse,
get rid of that.
Oh, you had that mint soap. I used the Dr. Bronner's the other day.
Ooh,
that
stuff got to tingle to it.
And it was the peppermint one. And whoo, doggy.
A little bit of a sting.
Oh, it's the balls, and it starts humming.
Yeah, it puts a real tingle on your avocados. Make sure you keep that Bronner's away from your Bronner's.
Try the Gold Bond Medicated Power Menthol.
Really? Is that the green bottle?
The green bottle.
The green bottle. Yeah. I know. My dad always kept a green bottle for his gross balls. God love you, Dad, and your gross balls. All right, hear about it now. I'm behind the curtain. I've got a spider infestation problem. 29 million tons. 478 Titanics. You know, the ship that Leonardo DiCaprio piled into the side of a volcano. The Titanic. That's how many f***ing spiders are in the world. The world's spider population raise is 29 million tons. And Whoa. This year, it seems like it might be up to 30 million tons, if my backyard is to be believed. I grew up in Waldorf. It's a swampy town. It's always humid. It's funky. You deal with spiders. It's just part of living around here. And it wasn't like this last summer at my house, but this summer, the spider population has been out of effing control. 410-338-1098. If you know anything about this, if you could help with this, people are turning me on to these like sonic diffusers you plug in and it sends out an inaudible wavelength that freaks spiders out and they run away. But it's gotten to the point where when I have my old hobo bag, my disgusting Trader Joe's bag that looks like it was fished out of the seam of a crime, I hold the bag in front of my face and walk so it can just
catch
knock.
The oh yeah, good technique.
It's just to catch it's the webs. And I have a retaining wall on my yard, and my car parks next to the retaining wall about 3 feet away, and it's just a net. It's just a net of spiders. I water my plants out front because I'm a 67-year-old Jewish woman, and I have to use the jet stream on the hose to knock out huge swaths of these things. And some of these spider webs, I mean, I have to turn the hose on full blast to even make a dent in them.
Yeah, we got a text saying that from an Orkin dude, service manager at Orkin Pest Control, mm-hmm. and he says there is an outburst in the spiders. In the spiders, it's due to humidity in the weather that we have been having, and you might need a good perimeter spray. Gotta get the perimeter going.
The old perimeter spray. Josh, there's an article earlier this year in the Boston Globe discussing the spider population.
Uh-huh.
Should spiders, and I say the Boston Globe, you have it delivered to your front doorstep in Massachusetts. They who gave me the facts here, the 478 Titanics worth of spiders in this world. If the spider population so chose to, according to one European biologist, they could eat all of us in under a year.
Oh, hell to the no.
Whoa. Spiders are everywhere. Whoa. And they could eat all of us in under a year. There it is. That's the headliner right there. Look at that big fanged bastard. And I need to know what to do because I got Evan running around like he's got a rocket strap to his ass these days. And I mean, I'm fishing spiders out of his hair.
Really?
He'll run through a web.
Oh, God.
Every point in my yard where there's like a little path or whatever, they will make some huge-ass fishing net that he'll just run through.
You mean a spider web?
A big spider web.
They're orb weavers.
Yes. Yes.
They're orb weavers.
You
need to fumigate your house.
I feel like they just come right back.
So when are we going to set it up?
Let's burn this whole sumbitch down. Let's go to the phones, 410-338-1098. Good morning. What say you, Kevin Northeast?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm covered in spiders.
Yeah, I felt the same way when I moved to Maryland with those giant house spiders. Apparently, peppermint oil is the right thing. I'm a little girl when it comes to spiders. I'm the weird guy that runs through a web and acts like I'm on fire.
Yeah, just start screaming.
Yeah, that's exactly what I sound like. It's terrifying. It's the most emasculating thing ever. But peppermint oil, we plant in it like a moat around our house. We spray, like pet sprays usually have peppermint oil in it.
Okay.
We spray the windows. We have peppermint incense. We have oil, like essential oil peppermint.
It's going
hard. I'm no joke. I can't deal with spiders. That's not my thing.
Wow. How much peppermint oil should I get? Because I'm looking on Amazon, and there's like there's peppermint oil, but it comes with like a dropper. There's only like 4 ounces of this stuff. Do you got to make it into a mist?
That stuff you put in like those oil diffusers that are like $1 billion at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yes.
You put that in there, and your whole house smells like a damn candy cane, but I haven't had spiders in a while.
Wow. This guy's on it.
He is one of the best callers we've ever arranged.
I'm like, in a damn peppermint house.
I'm putting him on hold just because he was so well-spoken. Just reach out to him, and we'll make him one of those planted callers now and then. We need someone to be able to form a sentence. Kevin, good work. Let's go to Trevor in Virginia. Trevor, good morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
Quite well. Oh. Covered in spiders.
Oh, well, spiders don't really bother me as much. But yesterday, I was tearing down a door. I'm working in construction. I was tearing down a door, a big metal door, and about five or six black widows popped out of the bottom of them.
Oh.
One of them was on my hand, and I didn't realize it.
You got to cut that hand off.
Well, no, I swatted it off, and I squished it. But I got a really, really good picture of one, and I'm going to text it to you guys.
410-338-1098. You can text us pictures.
Awesome, guys. Have a great day.
You do the same, buddy. Thank you for checking in. I want to see this.
You're going to die.
You could have had that thing chew your hand off, and you would have never been able to do a push-up ever again.
How big are Black Widow? They're not that big.
Maybe they are big. Let's take a quick look on the internet and see how big a Black Widow is. The average size of a Black Widow spider...
Some look bigger than others, but about a penny?
Just about, yeah. They have that red underpinning. The hourglass, yeah. Yeah, just a big old glass of that. Even remotely interested. God, horrifying. And you've got the...
My skin is starting to itch, by the way. I hate...
Because you're covered in spiders.
We talk about these things, because then your skin starts to crawl.
We had the guy, I don't know how he got talking about spiders like a week or two ago. He said there was a spider so big in his basement on the hardwood floor, he could hear its little feet crawl along the wood. Oh, God. They could just take us. They could take us at any time. I mean, really, they choose to let humans be at the top of the food chain. Should your black widows, your tarantulas of the world, those brown recluse that if it bites you, your arm just grows an anus the size of a tangerine. Ugh, God.
I didn't want to say anything, but on my way in today, walking up the steps to the building, cockroach about 3 inches long.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, it was a water bug, Mike.
It was a cockroach.
It's a water bug.
Is it worse? Are spiders worse or are cockroaches worse?
Cockroaches! Of course they're worse.
Yeah, they are worse.
But what are you talking about? They don't bite you, do they?
No, they don't bite you, but spiders are a good insect.
They catch and eat other insects.
Cockroaches will take over your house.
Yeah, and cockroaches
are filthy.
You'll see one spider. Like spiders, I think, are solitary, right? Whereas Spiegel's right, cockroaches have like colonies or whatever the hell you call them. You see one, there's a thousand in the wall.
And they poop everywhere, all over the place.
It's a stupid question.
Yeah,
Mike.
They're worse. They're
way worse. So much
worse.
Well,
spiders are a little scarier. Cockroaches are just disgusting.
You see a cockroach and you think filth. You see a spider and you just think infestation. We have to burn the whole house down.
I would take 500 spiders over one cockroach.
man, I don't know. I might befriend a cockroach, but
I can't stand cockroaches.
A spider, I'm calling it a cruise missile strike. You drop a Moab on that bitch if I find anything that resembles a brown lacrosse calling through my bed chamber towards the baby. Let's go to Mark Kingsville. You say the insects are booming this year.
Booming, baby.
They're booming this year because we had such a mild winter. So basically, it's like pretty much all the bugs that would die off because of the cold are just kind of sprouting around and just chilling. I'm like, oh. Okay. Nice weather we're having.
Yeah. Great. First the corn suffers, and now the children. Sometimes Mother Nature goes absolutely, completely insane.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Stacy, Joe, thanks for coming in on a Saturday. We did a segment on Thursday called Rude or Not, and... Mike, you weren't even in for this.
Yeah, I missed this one.
You'll hear coming up. It's just a list of stuff that some people consider rude. A lot of people consider rude. The double dipping of a chip. The brief, short text back. One thing that drives me up a wall, and I think we got a text about it, was if I text someone and then they just call. Like, I don't want to talk to you. I want to text. Don't call me.
Me too. I'm also somebody who wants to text versus call. But let me tell you how the short texts are okay if you put... a ha-ha or an LOL. It always says, okay, well, here's the mood that I'm in. Because it sounds like you're like, I don't have time for you if they're short. But then if you put something to let you know that you're laughing at it, unless, of course, they're saying, hey, you're, you know, my dog just
died. You let
died.
Them down gently.
Right.
I don't want to talk, but here's a little volley back.
Or an emoji.
Mike, what was one of yours?
Well, I think even more upsetting than the terse text is the very short email. Because it's so much easier to type an email. You have a keyboard, so you can write a sentence in 2 seconds. So when somebody writes an email back that says, yes, period, I want to punch my computer.
This sounds like personal experience. Did somebody do this to you?
Oh, yeah.
There's give a person that name. Name
every
names.
Week this person does this
to me. Yeah, every week. You will write this long Aesop's fable. A long fable.
Hey, this person that he wrote on the board just did that to me via text. I asked him a question. As a matter of fact, Justin, I literally screenshot it and I sent it to you. I go, what does this mean?
And it's just...
The person who was just on that board.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's a period at the end of it.
Okay, like it's just final.
Salt in the wound.
And I know this is like the transitioning to email etiquette. What about the other person here who loves to like respond with one word and then 17 question marks behind it?
One does the job. The
you don't get to yell via email. You want to yell at somebody, you walk into their office and you do it in person. But if you're going to send an email, no all caps.
Coming up. Things that we consider rude or not rude. You be the judge. I'm behind the curtain. So you heard Lowell tease out of news into us. There's a list of things that some consider rude, others don't. And it's some I disagree with, some I absolutely 100% agree with. I don't understand how only 93% of people say it's rude to not flush after using a toilet.
Yeah, who
need to get those
7%
on the phone.
Boy, are they relaxed.
Well, 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. Give us a call, shoot us a text if you want to get in on this conversation. Yeah, only 93% think it's rude to not flush a toilet.
Who just sees a giant thing in the toilet?
Let
like,
me ask you this, though. At nighttime, I don't really flush. I don't...
You don't
flush the pee-pees at night?
No pee-pees.
Because I don't want to wake up the kid or the wife with a loud flush. So I just let it mellow until the morning.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's totally fine. Totally fine.
That's acceptable.
Agreed.
Okay. Urine is sterile.
That's the big thing nowadays.
Yeah. Urine is sterile.
You could make soup with it.
Yes,
it's the
could.
Base for a good stock. Yes. Boiled chicken bones.
You
can
drink your own urine.
You can. You can make urine smoothies.
You
if you don't, you're costing yourself health.
Dude, write that down. Urine smoothie.
Urine smoothie.
That might be next week.
God.
You're on the program.
Yes. Mike, can't wait till you're back, buddy. And
yeah,
you
Mike, you're drinking a urine smoothie.
You got one whiz slushy. Now, some of these though are a little head scratching, and we'll get into these the rest of them out of sports with Keith Mills. Let me give you a couple of them. Number 7, not replying to a text within a day. People are split, 52%.
Well, if you're starting to date someone, isn't that the surefire way to get them to like you?
Or is it the surefire way to get them to think you're obsessed? If you start getting right, if you get right back to a text, like, whoa,
right?
Uh-oh.
He likes me too much.
If you respond before my thumb has moved off of the phone that I've sent you,
I didn't even send it.
Yes, exactly. And I'm super guilty of that. Someone will send me a text on a Monday. I'll respond on a Wednesday.
Yeah, you are definitely famous.
The
for
worst.
That.
One of my best friends, Steve Huber. We will text each other and respond every 2 weeks. We've had a conversation going on about Biggie that's we started in March and we're just now wrapping up. And it might be 8 texts long.
Yeah.
And we're not even mad at each other.
Like I've texted Justin and been like, hey, I found this $10,000 in cash and I have to get rid of it right now. Where can I meet you to give you half of it?
Nothing.
Let him think about it.
2 weeks later. Uh-huh. Hey, man, just got this.
Hey, man.
Where can I meet you?
Where's he at? Sorry, I already gave it to one of your cohorts, stupid. So stick around. Coming up, 410-338-1098 if you want to join the conversation. We got a great list of some stuff that some people consider rude, other people don't. A lot of it to do with the phone. A lot of it to do
number
with
eating.
Number 10
is great. We'll get into number 10, too. That's a that's rude. Number 10 is rude.
You think?
Yes, because there's very
guilty.
Few instances where you actually have a valid excuse for doing that.
I did number 10 yesterday.
We'll get to the list in a second, but here's just a couple of quick texts. Please. It's rude to, and this is a big one for me, rude to not acknowledge when someone has held the door for you. If I hold the door for you and you don't say thank you, you son of a...
And you better be loud about it.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks. I always say thanks.
Thank you so much.
If you just walk through say nothing,
thank you.
Thank you.
F you.
I like to cup their cheeks with my hands and just hold them. Thank you. Give them an idea of how many problems I've had with doors recently.
Thank you. This is a weird one. Blowing your nose at the dinner table.
I've heard people get so upset at that. What if you're eating spicy food? Sometimes it has
running
to
nose.
And the nose is running?
I'll leave. A snotty, gross...
Hear the boogers, like if it's hefty and chunky, and you can hear the
dating?
Stuff flying out.
You really want me to get up?
I'll one up you, and you're at a restaurant with cloth napkins, and they do it in the napkin that they're using.
Oh God,
been there for that one.
That's a whole other discussion. The handkerchief that the 1930s crews blow their nose into and then save it.
Yeah.
Like how boogered up is your grandfather's pocket square?
I remember ironing my dad's. Oh. Things, whatever they're called.
Marianne!
Iron my handkerchiefs.
It's time for you to iron my booger cloth. I love you. I'll be in there in a second to tuck you
right
in with my booger cloth.
Why did a booger cloth need to be ironed?
Ugh, God.
My mom, into the square. Iron it into the square shape.
It's just going to go into your pocket and get boogers.
Father
in
was
it.
Strict.
Yes.
Father didn't like it if it wasn't ironed.
Lest father take his learning stick to you. Yes, no Marianne, this is the last time you don't iron my booger square. Now go outside until the rains begin.
Eating off your plate without asking. 89% of people think that's rude.
Hugely rude.
See, all these have so many variables. Literally did this too. I think it was Huber the other day or something. We had lunch or something, and we're all just like hanging out eating. And I could tell he was kind of like, you know, getting near the end of it. And he was like slowing down. Or it might have been my brother-in-law, Lou. I think it was Lou. And he had fries and I didn't get fries. So I just reached over and grabbed a few of his fries. And he didn't say one word. Didn't think twice about it.
He was seething on the
inside.
I was hoping Lou would have taken a fork.
You don't do it right at the beginning. You don't do it right at the beginning. You know, you gauge where they're at in their
meal.
Wait
till the napkin's on the plate.
Yeah, and I could tell there was going to be a few left over. So I'm like, all right.
Can I throw another variable into the stealing a fry? If the fry has left the jurisdiction of the plate and is hanging over the edge.
Fair game.
If I can just grab the tip and just slide it out from beneath the pile.
Fair game.
That fry is mine. All right, if it's like skin side up. Or like you said, towards the end of the meal, he's slowing down. There's nothing just but debris on the plate.
Fair game.
Dig in.
That's a girl thing, too, because they never want to order their own fries.
I'll just eat yours.
But then they're eating. Yeah. And I'm like, no. I'll order you your own side.
That's a big thing for people. Like, the people taking off. Like, Chiquita can, if I have food, have whatever you want. I don't care. We'll share. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you want some of my stuff, I'll have some. Just fine. Totally fine with that at all times. Any one of you in this room could grab something off of my. Like, if you grab three fries, like, is that. A, am I going to starve because now I'm not having a complete meal because you took three fries? And I don't really care about like hygiene or anything.
Get my potato serving for the day.
I guess I'm going home peckish tonight. I'll go ahead and cinch my belt tighter to go to sleep because you were eating daddy's slaw without asking.
Slaw.
Yeah, I guess it does have to do with the relationship that you're in. This is the one that we teased prior going to the break. Number 10 pulled this maneuver yesterday.
We've all pulled this maneuver.
Ignoring.
Horrifically transparent, blatant, and obvious as to what you're doing.
Ignoring a phone call and just texting back immediately instead.
Yes.
What if you're on the air?
Yeah, see
that. I can text while talking on the air or at your job or in a cubicle. I'm a big fan of texting back a phone call.
That's the only. See, for me, when I do it, I just think the person. I'm ducking the person. A, I'm not in a meeting.
First of all, who makes phone calls anyway?
It's just a 100% ducking maneuver.
I'm done on calling. You have the capability to text.
Ugh.
I don't ever want to hear your voice again. But Scott Borrego went yesterday about that. A call is technically more efficient on getting the information. What time are we meeting? Where are we meeting at? What should I wear? The end. And it's all self-contained.
Right.
But not everybody is that efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But I did this maneuver yesterday. Thank God I was helping you move some boxes. Because right in the middle of it, I get a call from someone back there, and I respond with, where are we at here? I can find it. And I said, hey, helping someone with something, can't talk, what's up?
And never heard back.
Yes.
Yeah. You can always just do like
that. That was their last phone call. They were like, ugh!
Yeah.
They call, you do the ignore the call and then text back in a meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Right.
That's always good.
I'm actually, when I'm doing interviews, people call and I'll be like, yeah, in an interview, I'll call you in a little bit.
Can't talk right now. Dealing with something.
My husband and I have talked on the phone about 6 times total. Like, we do not call. And when we do, I'm like, what's wrong? What happened? It's so rare.
You're going to stand the test of time. You guys will grow old and be buried side by side with each other.
I don't even know what his voice sounds like on the phone. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, meanwhile, Buck will ring with just a, sup?
Nothing.
What's up with you?
Nothing.
Walked into that trap.
God. Yeah. Damn it. Mother.
Son. Of
God.
Sorry.
How are the kids? Are they good? Something get broken?
I cannot get off the phone quick enough.
I can't.
At every single time.
Oh, and then you... have you ever felt... You ever gotten this? You ever gotten this? The... Well, it sounds like you're done talking. So I guess you're...
Really? You just got that now? Because I was done 5 minutes ago.
I was done 5 minutes ago.
You're picking that up now?
I have been through for quite some time. Let's go to the phones. 410-338-1098. Let's start with Tim. Tim, good morning. Talking about just rude behaviors.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So, for rude behaviors, it kind of depends on the person. If you're a parent... You're not going to care about half the things on that list. I mean, if the kid goes in the potty, you're not going to be upset that he didn't flush. You're happy he made it to the potty. Okay. For double dipping, who really cares? If the kid has half a piece of bacon hanging out of his mouth and is done with it, well, I mean, I might eat it as bacon. Why not?
Okay. All right. Here. I get it. Yeah, that's another variable. The kid. Like, for example, my absolutely beautiful stepdaughter. She, one of her favorite things in the world is ranch dressing. And she will take her fingers and she will take a French fry and she'll put it right in there. There you go. She'll bring it to her lips. She'll take a bite of half the fry. And then she'll go back in and on the subsequent dip in, she's getting about half the fingers in the ranch.
Oh, yeah.
She goes way past the base of the fry. And at that point, though, she's just so damned sweet that I can't be mad. But if I see, you know, old furry Knuckles Melzer over here, you start dipping your hoof into my condiments, we're going to go have a talk. Yeah, you're going to catch these
hands. Can I borrow your ranch real fast?
You can't borrow my ranch because you're putting your whole dumb fist in it, okay?
Chewing with your mouth open or talking with a mouthful of food. You do that all the time. You do the chipmunk.
I chipmunk it.
He'll take a huge bite of food and then have food like in both cheeks and he'll start talking like this. And you do it all the time.
Get out of here.
I do the I like to think I'm being decent enough to shove it in the corners of my mouth.
Chipmunk maneuver is so strange.
That's your way of being polite.
Next time I'll video it. He does it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't find it rude. I just think it's interesting.
I wish I had. Hold on. Yeah. I got an apple right here.
Got a BK stacker.
F an apple. All right.
Saving it for later.
I have a gross mealy apple. I'll do this.
Chew it up a little.
And he gets it into the side of his mouth.
My mom goes, I'll chipmunk it.
Look.
And one of the things that
he does that all the time.
So, honestly, coming up, we should probably get talking about what we're going to do for the Ravens game.
He's got a mouthful of apple.
My cheeks are just packed tight for the winter. And I look like one of the rescue rangers.
Oh, my God.
What's going on?
Where does that come from?
Waldorf.
That's a Waldorfian thing.
That's a Chuck County move. Let's go to the phones. Let's see. Oh, wow. The phones have exploded. This is I talk with my stupid mouth. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you guys?
What's up, Matt?
Man, I don't know if it's on your list, but the biggest thing in the world that gets on my nerves, and I think is rude as anything, is when I'm working on a truck for my company on the side of the road, no traffic, and people still don't move over, blow by you, could care less.
That's A, rude, B, dangerous. Yeah, I always try to... isn't that a law, Lowell, if there's a cop that has someone pulled over, you're supposed to...
Yeah, that's the move-over law. You're supposed to get a lane over.
I've been pulled over for that.
Yeah.
I've been pulled over on Richie for not getting out of the right lane.
I don't want to hit anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Just out of, like, I don't want to kill
anybody. It's really anyone that's in the... Yeah, not like just police. Dude. It's like... Anyone that's
you thought
in that
I was
lane,
just guilty of chipmunking with stuff in my cheeks. Also guilty of this next one. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
What I find is highly annoying and rude is if I'm in line for any reason and somebody decides they want to stand as close to me as possible. Like anything's going to go any faster.
Right. It's the worst. When they invade that space bubble of yours and they're like clearly in your space and it's like, bruh, why you got to be right up on me?
Oh,
like
I'll
you said, you're not
going
to get to the... I'm clearly in front of you. You're not going to get to the register any quicker yep. by getting all balmy.
Brian, I see you in line. I'll Shawshank that ass, buddy. I'll be on you. I'll now, be on you like a shadow.
Do you say anything? Like, sometimes I'll shoot him like kind of a over-the-shoulder dirty glance. Do you do anything, or you just take it?
Sometimes I move around a little bit, try and bump him to let him know, like, you're too close to me.
Oh, right. You'll pretend that, like, you're repositioning yourself and bump them. Like, I was just repositioning, and you were so close that I hit you.
Oh, sorry about that. Didn't see you there.
I may have more than one time with my cart bumped into the person in front of me in line by accident, just because I'm so anxious to get
you'll, like,
my stuff
nudge
on
him?
The belt. Wow. No, just accidentally. Like, I'm moving up and not paying attention to their space and,
their
like,
space,
giving them a bump.
Dude. So you're the offender.
Well,
here.
No, but in my defense, I also have my son in the front, and he's distracting me.
Stop it.
I will stand close to someone just to smell their hair.
Yeah.
Somebody right here, text her sister.
Do that, too.
3-foot bubble, bro.
Yeah.
No
bubble.
You got a really hairy, like, Armenian.
It's all about
back.
Me and my space. I don't care about your space.
Mm, you got a really good smelling neck. I'm going to give that a quick sniff.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
I'm not sure how you guys felt about this one. I was hoping she was going to be a little bit more playful. We didn't get a lot. We got some good information from Monique Darling, the CEO of Juicy Enlightenment. She's organizing a cuddle party tomorrow, as a matter of fact, at the Westin Hotel, Alexandria, Virginia. Just search Juicy Enlightenment. I mean, it seems like these people all come from good places, but I was kind of hoping to bandy about with some more silliness than what we got.
Yeah, if we were going to get, like, quote unquote behind the curtain, as this break was going on, I was like, this is kind of bombing. This is not resonating with our listeners.
Well, the first indication was when, and I probably shouldn't have asked it, but I didn't know at this point that she was going to be so stiff, but I said, you urge most men to unload the gun
before they come to a cuddle party.
And there was like 10 seconds of silence, which you'll hear coming up.
Yeah. Which, Mike, at the time you'll hear us like, oh God, Mike, how can you ask that? We did a little social media archaeology here, and I'm digging around. And I'm finding some stuff on here, such as play parties, open relationship. I'm seeing some stuff where people are dipping their fingers in chocolate, and Lord knows the destination of said finger. So don't give us the hairy tongue when it comes to some of these questions here, because I'm looking at the Facebook page, and I don't think it's anything too untoward to ask.
Yeah, and I was kind of joking, but yeah, I mean, if I were a guy and I'm going to this thing, yeah. I'm unloading the gun.
Well, we also got a lot of texts after that segment inquiring about, like, which maybe we should have asked her, is like, what, I mean, these cuddle parties go to 4 a.m., like, A, like, what is the point of that? Why are these things going all effing night? And B, like, what happens most times after the cuddle?
This is networking for hooking up.
Right. Is that what I mean? It's at a hotel room. It's at the Westin. You're having a cuddle party. I would imagine like it's just a big hookup orgy scene, maybe.
I just going back to Anderson, I think the highlight of the phone call is when Mike poses the question, and there is a good maybe one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Oh, you could drive a truck
three
through
Mississippi
the gap at the end of his question and the beginning of her answer.
Yeah.
Hear her now, Monique Darling, CEO of Juicy Enlightenment, putting together the world's largest cuddle party on Behind the Curtain. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monique Darling. Good morning, Monique.
Good morning, everyone.
We got questions.
So excited to be here.
We are excited to have you.
I sensed a little tone there. Was that genuine excitement?
Sassiness.
Is that genuine?
So much excitement.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have no idea. I wake up every day going, is this really my life? Because I get to travel the world and do what I love.
Now, explain to us what a cuddle party is. Let's just start there.
Okay. A cuddle party is a boundaries and communication workshop that can also lead to cuddling. So, like, the first 45 minutes is the welcome circle, where we talk about rules of cuddling that we also explain can be used as rules to live your life by. And then part of it is people going and asking for the type of touch that they want, and also learning how to be able to say no to the things that they don't.
Good, because you're already answering some questions that we had, because yesterday we found out we were talking to you. You know, you're trying to organize a record-setting cuddle party. I believe it's going to be at the Westin in Alexandria, Virginia, less than a week away. And we were thinking, what's going to prevent some group of people such as yourselves, you know, well-intentioned, from having a couple of ne'er-do-wells trying to infiltrate the damn thing and get sketchy?
Well, I've run over 670 cuddle parties now, like literally all around the world, and I've only ever had to kick one person out.
Wow. That's a good record. So, a good record. You
know, we just don't have sketchy people. Like, people know that it's a completely non-sexual event. They know that they're coming to reclaim their voices and to be able to find something new around touch.
I would imagine you urge the male attendants to unload the gun before they get there.
Jesus, Michael.
Oh, Michael.
We apologize.
Well, you guys can talk about whatever feels good to you. Like, that's up to people. But if we're very clear on what the event is, on what people are coming to. And so people come to really just learn how to take sex out of the equation of touch.
Gotcha.
Which most people never had that opportunity.
Darling, what makes a good cuddle for you? Just a one-on-one session. What are you looking for in a good cuddle session? Big spoon, little spoon, facing each other, back to back, PJs, naked. What gets it done for you?
I actually like being the little spoon and just being cradled in someone's arm and having their arm around me.
Ditto.
That's probably my favorite type of cuddle.
Now, this is something like, I'm married, so outside of my wife, I don't know how much cuddling I'm actually going to be doing. But, like, it's something that I think myself and a lot of people could benefit from because, like you said, you take the sex out of cuddling. Because for me, like, cuddling is...
it's a prelude to
It's
something.
Almost a prelude to sex, and it could, for me, be a very... kind of sexual thing, and it's
almost foreplay to some people.
Yeah,
just the act of being that close, and you kind of feel that person's energy.
But it's just about touch, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never
thought
about
that. One of the greatest things about cuddle party and what they found is that it produces oxytocin. Just by having someone close to you, having someone touch you, it's like a natural chemical in your body, and so it helps take you from your sympathetic nervous system, which is like our fight and flight that most people are in all of the time, to our parasympathetic nervous system. And so you immediately calm down and you have this safe space to start feeling safe in your body.
Yeah, my mom is a big, we have a famous clip of my mom saying, hugs are good.
Hugs are good, honey.
Hugs are good, honey.
Hugs are great.
They make everybody feel really
happy.
Here's
my mom. Here, listen to my mom, Monique. Go ahead, play it.
Here's his mom.
Hugs are good, honey. They make everybody feel really happy.
See? And then we always do hugs on the show here. We like kind of force each other to hug each other.
We hate it.
And you're supposed to like hold a hug, I think, for a certain amount of time before, like you said, those endorphins start to release. And they do, man. We do it around here. It's like, hey, let's hug. And and it makes you feel great.
Love that.
Can I ask you about my hugging technique? I will put my arms around someone, and I've been told that this is a flaw in my style, is to where I will then cup the crown of the head and almost force your head into my breast and or the nape of my neck, usually really forcing that neck muscle in place.
I don't think you
want
to do force, right?
Yeah, I know. That's a botch on my part.
The use of force, that's a kind of a no-no.
Yeah, especially at cuddle party. Like, our second rule is that you have to ask and get a verbal yes before touching anyone.
Gotcha.
So there's no force, like everything's around consent.
Now, I have like a problem with rejection, not really like on a major level, but I would imagine like getting a no at one of these, you just gotta, how does that all work out when you say, can I do this? And somebody says, what do you say? I don't feel comfortable with that. And then you just have to be like, okay, I'm sorry, or?
No, it's actually one of the greatest things. Lots of people come to cuddle parties just to practice saying no.
Yeah.
Because we help reframe rejection. Because we teach people at the very beginning that when someone says no, thank them for taking care of themselves. Because that's a misconception of society that they've taught us, oh, when you say no, you're going to disappoint someone or hurt their feelings. When really, when you offer that powerful no, that's when a person knows that they can start trusting your yes. And so we really start reframing it for everyone.
Wow, this goes way deeper.
This is deep.
Than
this is deep.
Never thought.
It's pretty deep.
Amazing.
All the way in. Monique Darling, CEO of Juicy Enlightenment, largest cuddle party the world has ever seen, September 3rd, 2017, 6:30 to 4 a.m. Wow, this thing's going to be going on. Interfusion Festival Summer 2017 at the Westin Hotel in Alexandria, Virginia. Now, Monique, I would assume you would also have to relay to people ahead of time, not just the attire, but the hygiene.
Like, you're going to be within close proximity of some folks. So you don't want to go in there with, like, a heavy musk, a heavy BO. Do you send out, like, a big email or, like, just some sort of cheat sheet? Like, hey, let's all give ourselves a good scrub before we all ride.
We do. We tell people take a shower, put deodorant on, and don't wear scents because we have a lot of people that are scent sensitive. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the
attire? So we send that out to everyone.
And as far as attire goes, I mean, are people just wearing, like, sweatpants and hoodies?
They often wear flannel pajamas. We have a lot of people coming in onesies. Like, that's the new craze. The last year, so many people come in those onesies that just zip up the front. Sometimes a giraffe or a cow, or, you know, they like to wear these flannel onesies.
Can you, we're talking to Monique Darling, CEO of Juicy Enlightenment. She's going to do the world's largest cuddle party. It's going to be at the Westin Hotel in Alexandria, Virginia, September 3rd. Can you paint a picture for me, please, when you're at the Westin and there's the cuddle party? What am I seeing? Is it in one of the big conference rooms? And
it is. We've actually combined three conference rooms.
Okay.
Because we're going to have 600 to 1,000 people there.
Whoa!
So we have these. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people. And then so we open up the three conference rooms, and there's mattresses, and there's pillows, and there's blankets. And then I'll be up on the stage so people can see me. We start with some Qigong, so people move their bodies, and then we do the welcome circle. And then we start the music, and people go start having conversations or cuddling or practicing saying no, however they want to co-create the cuddle party within the rules that we have.
Got it.
What number are you going for, by the way? What's the number to set the record? What's the prior record, and what are you looking to break it with?
The prior record is 470, and so I want to get over 670 since this will be my 671st cuddle party.
Wow, 670 cuddle parties.
A lot of cuddle parties.
Now, is there music? Is there some sort of music? Like, what is it, or is it just...
There is music. I have a dear partner, Peter Peterson, and he's an amazing DJ. And so he creates playlists every time for each cuddle party.
Is there another good question, I think? Alcohol, or is that a no-no?
Oh.
That's a no-no. No alcohol, no drugs at cuddle parties, because it's all about consent and conscious choice.
Right. That's what I figured.
Very nice. Well, we appreciate the insight. If people would like to join up and attend the cuddle party, the record-setting cuddle party, is there anywhere people need to pre-register, visit? Where are they looking to go?
You can go to the Interfusion Festival website, or you can also go on my website, which is whereintheworldismoniquedarling.com.
Oh, very good. Monique, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, there she goes.
Fascinating.
All right. She's gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to tear this thing apart, but I also feel like it's probably very beneficial for a lot of people.
I want to learn to say no. I want to go in there and say
it's
like the Lifetime movie version of an orgy. It's like watching a great big, you know, GB session, but nothing actually is happening.
Yeah. And it's like you want to, like, here, I'm watching, I'm on the Interfusion Festival website, and you want to just be like, you're all just a bunch of wackadoos, but these people are probably, like, way more.
Oh, StarQuest on Twitter, you genius. What's going to happen when 600 dudes show up?
Oh,
and there's just, like, 13 horrified women.
I'm looking at the pictures and these videos from these festivals. It's 50-50, man. And these people that are tapped into this stuff are probably way more well-adjusted than most of us.
She's probably pretty good at making sure, like, I've got 350 dudes. I need to get 350 ladies so there's a good balance.
These people are probably
the same sex action.
Super content with their lives, super secure with who they are, no agendas. Look at these people. They're just so free. Look at this Interfusion Festival. Look at them. Oh,
you know, hold on one second.
Their minds are probably just nice and quiet and calm, and life's going to be okay.
Hey,
let life come to you.
What are you guys up to on Sunday? We have Monday off. I'm free.
When is this thing?
It's Sunday.
No, I'm very
busy. Not doing that. I know you're busy. Mike?
I thought about it too, but
can they count this as infidelity?
I don't know. Like, that's what I mean. Are all these people? God, yeah. No, that's what I mean. These people, they're not all single. They can't be all single.
I'll be back in a few hours. I'm going to go cuddle with a stranger.
more than 50% of these people have to be in committed relationships, but they're so secure with themselves and who they are and their journey that this is just cool, man. It's cool.
Let's just say I get yelled at for looking at magazine covers too long sometimes.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's what you find out?
Right? That's not the people that are at this thing.
I'm like, that's Brock Lesnar,
they're
honey.
They're chill, man. They're just chill.
Mike, let's you and I, wink, wink, go to Mother's on Sunday.
I start big spooning anybody. There's going to be movement. Yeah. There's going to be movement.
Boner. Bonerville.
Well, Mike, you and I spoon. We're
that's against the rules.
I know.
I'm getting kicked out.
Getting a chubby against
you're
the rules.
You're out.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go sit and eat your BK Stacker.
We should have asked her. How do you deal with erections?
No, I'm sorry. No, no. Oh, my God. They have a bone zone. You have to go sit.
Bone zone.
It's just like 50 dudes sitting over there. I'm sorry.
Do all make sure, and then the ladies come, but make sure you have your boner plate.
Oh, God. It's just... Oh.
I would be in the bone zone.
I would be in the bone zone.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So thanks to you, the listener, we were able to track down a tarot card reader. And damn it if I'm not kicking myself for not asking her. One of the things that we asked ourselves the day prior on Monday, what kind of money are you making from this? We didn't ask her. I completely blanked saying, hey, you know, she said that day she was going to go to the Poplar. She was going to, you know, do her shtick. Like, what kind of check you cutting from this?
Yeah, I mean...
mad at myself for that.
She said that's all she does. That's what she told me.
Well, then...
I mean...
Put it this way. There was someone sitting in the back of the room the whole time when she was here, and it was her mom.
Might be footing the bill.
and I don't know. Mom had a driver, or mom just really wanted to see the show, or why was mom here?
Yeah, I thought that too, but she told me she didn't want to navigate and try to drive because she's really unfamiliar with the cities, so.
Gotcha.
What?
Gotcha.
How much, Justin? Mom's footing
and
the bill.
And they did get, my God, you guys were, I didn't even tell you, but they got lost on the way here, and I was on the phone for a good 15 minutes in front of Google Maps navigating them here to the doorsteps of 98 Rock.
Well, we had a tarot card reader come in, did Josh's tarot card reading with some interesting results. The card of the douche was revealed on Behind the Curtain. Head to 98online.com now for the fifth episode of
The Anderson Agenda.
Where you can hear a discussion this week with who, Mr. Anderson?
I spoke with Art Rosengarten. He's a psychotherapist and tarot specialist out of California. And we just, I knew nothing about tarot. My girlfriend got a deck of cards. I was kind of weirded out by it, so I did some investigation.
Where did she get them?
Online. I'm not sure where online.
Did she get them at Amazon now?
I guess. Yeah, they're all over the place.
I thought you had to go to like a voodoo doctor or something.
Or have some sorceress will them to you.
Right.
Like an ancient deck.
I am giving you these cards.
These are for you, weary traveler. let us predict your future.
Use them with caution.
Beware! You know not what you play with, young man.
Never use them during a full moon. Or without any pants.
Or without pants. Make sure you have pants on. Because many people get erections while playing with these. We have a lot of fun.
Which is why we are joined
I love your laugh.
You know what I'm getting? You know what I'm getting over here? Are you picking up what I'm putting down from this lovely? I'm getting a Stevie Nicks vibe. I love it. No, I got a sweet spot.
You're really close to that microphone.
Sweet spot for Stevie
Nicks.
What's
your Instagram? Speak up.
Get right in that microphone.
Come on, Miss Lucy.
It's Tarot and Charms by Miss Lucy.
Tarot and Charms? Yeah.
Yes.
All right, I want to look you up. I want to see what you're working on.
I'm liking this. This was a recommendation from a listener. We were talking yesterday just about where do you get a tarot card reading? How do you get them done? Mike had his done. He had three cards flipped on him, the whole deal. And someone called and was like, I've had my tarot done by Ms. Lucy. She's kind of like the local authority. We started looking you up. And I gotta say, you got some sultry pics. I'm like the one where the hair is right in front of the eye, so you got that one kind of cycloptic glance. Yeah, look at that laugh. That's what I'm talking about. How did you get into this? How did you learn to do tarot?
It was a game when I was 7 years old. Actually, I started just doing it with old maid, the regular cards, and I started noticing things. When I got to be about 12, a bunch of us were sitting around,
yeah,
and we were playing fish. And I started noticing the cards and realized that two of my friends were going to get a sweet spot together,
yeah,
and they did.
So hot.
But I saw another card. It was a three, and I knew that she was going to get hurt. And that's when I started paying attention.
And this is off of a standard 52 deck of playing cards. You're kind of picking up on these vibes. So you said, I probably should graduate to like an Uno deck. And then from there, go to tarot.
I didn't know tarot. I thought I invented this stuff. And then I got to a certain age and realized that it already happened.
Gotcha. Did you have to train in using these tarot cards? Do you have like a master?
No.
No? No one like a head sorceress? No one didn't go to Hogwarts or nothing like that?
No.
Who showed you? So you just learned the tarot cards yourself?
Yeah.
Awesome. I love self-taught people. I learned how to play fart sound effects all by myself. So we're going to have you do a reading for one of us, I believe, because I understand it takes a little bit to do.
It's about 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Oh, my God.
We'll do it during Keith. It'll be way more interesting.
Does it matter who you read? Would you prefer anybody, or should we just choose?
You picking an energy up from anybody in here?
It would be whoever.
What was the energy? Do you pick up on energies or anything like that? Like when you walked in the room, what was...
There's a strong connection to this person.
Justin?
Ooh. I can feel heat.
Yeah,
Keith. That's coming from his crotch.
It is. Yeah. It's like a space heater down there.
His crotch runs very hot.
Really, really warm. It's probably a disease.
But yeah. The gentlest energy is right here.
Spiegel.
Oh, wow. When I think of gentle, I think of Josh Spiegel.
So I can talk about whatever I want to talk about, you son of a bitch.
That was a bad day.
That was a rough day.
I was real a bad
they
day.
Messed with his energy. That's
that
not
funny.
On him.
So what are you feeling like, Miss Lucy? You want to go gentle energy, or you want to go with old hot crotch over here?
Yeah, you got...
where are you headed?
You got fire stick, you got sweet meat over there, but what about this guy? What about this guy to my left? Scott, what's his energy?
The one in the back?
No, this
right
guy.
Here, me, right in front of you.
Just mostly, you don't seem... It just feels like you're on your own thing.
That's right, baby.
Scott's dead. I'm not even picking
I'm
up
dead
on the pulse.
Well, not dead. He's just on his own thing.
No, on my own thing, baby.
He's on his own plane of existence. Mike Anderson is the gentleman that helped find you. He is in the room considered to be the one most likely to be abducted by aliens, the one most likely to freak out and cry during a game of Ouija.
He's got a UFO tattoo on his balls.
He does. Directly on.
Fact.
Right on his bees. You get anything from him? Any kind of vibe?
He's the one that really, it feels like, pulled me here.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I did.
Yeah, he called you.
I absolutely did.
Yes, yep. He did.
He didn't really pull you. He just called you.
He's
kind of scheduled.
Got to make a phone call. Yeah. So, all right, what we're going to do, we're going to do Keith. We're going to hit some sports, and then we're going to have you do a tarot card reading. Josh, how do you feel about having your tarot cards read?
Sure. What is it? Just you're looking at my future?
Well, what we'll do is we're going to go into your present, then we'll go backwards into your past and out what's relevant.
Uh-oh.
And then we'll go into the future after we've done that to see where it's heading.
All right.
There's a lot of gaps in his past that might explain the present and the future. There's a couple of dark marks throughout history that this year he's sort of given us clues, including Russian massage artists and yelling at kids.
Well, I don't
in
know. Maybe Justin should get
it's Josh. Coming up. All right, coming up, we crack open that Pandora's box that is Josh's past with Ms. Lucy, tarot card reader.
And we have Ms. Lucy in studio. She's a tarot card reader. And if I'm being completely honest, this is very strange for me. This is fact. I just got like a little bit emotional, like right as we were about to go back on the air.
What?
Like I started to get.
I swear to God, I did too.
I'm hearing some of the stuff she's saying, and it's resonating, man.
No. This is for me. This is my experience. I looked over at Josh, and he was fully engaged, fully listening, and fully embracing the entire experience. And I was like, 12 years ago, the guy I met would never have done this. Never.
This is the best Josh we've ever had.
100%.
And I was like, this is the best Josh we've ever had.
Well, it was very
interesting. You had a little trepidation going into it. You had talked about some people in your life that might not agree with this. and then you kind of just surrendered to it, and Miss Lucy guided you, and you did a tarot card reading. And look, whether it's you choose to believe it or not is up to you, whether you think this is all poppycock or there's something to it. Look, each to each his own. But I saw you, I looked over, I'm like, man, he is fully engaged and fully listening, and I think he's going to take something from this. I don't know what the hell the card said. Maybe he's going to die tomorrow. But
oh, my God.
Listen.
No. Oh, within the next 3 years.
No.
I mean,
no, but whatever it was, he was. I was like, I got a little emotional. I'm like, God, look at this guy.
He doesn't see 2020.
He's in it. And Mike, I think you saw that too, right? It was like.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was just a weird sort of vibe. But yeah, it hit me too.
Wow.
You know what it was?
I swear to
your
God,
body language. Oh, you have really? A body language that tells the tale before your words do. You sometimes lean away from someone. You
yes.
kind of close yourself off. And in this moment, you were leaning in. You were opening your body to Ms. Lucy to do a reading. Ms. Lucy, I heard a couple of things, and I'm not going to divulge everything because, Josh, this is a personal thing between you and your physician here.
You can.
Yeah,
you
I think
can,
we have to, right?
Yeah, you're allowed to.
I heard the word parasite come up.
Yeah.
What? Are we those parasites?
No.
Is that us? Are we sucking this man dry?
Well, the parasites weren't identified, but he definitely has a couple douchebags that are on his.
That's us.
Dude, that's us. That's 100% us.
Barking at his heels.
That describes us. I literally bark at his feet at 10 o'clock every time we leave. Oh, wow. What does he do? What are these parasites doing to him? What are they, and how does he get rid of them? Well, do you want to start at the beginning?
Yeah,
you want to start
I think beginning? We should. Because that was only one aspect of it.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what we do, Miss Lucy. We're going
to share. I forgot to ask
me,
you.
It's not private.
Do you think I'm going to live a long life? Or
yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Thank
damn
God.
It.
Thank God.
Damn it.
Yes.
Life. It takes forever.
Evan's going to college.
This whole life thing's taking forever.
There are fates worse than death.
So, Miss Lucy, how do we recap what just happened? Walk us through it. Did we start at a beginning? Is there a middle? Is there an end? Is there just an overall picture that you got? What is it?
Where he's at right now is he's not present. He's open, but he's not present because something in the past, he's not over. It's some kind of loss or betrayal or possibly both. It's messing with his passion. Now, it goes into having some predators, having... And no, it's not you guys. There has been some kind of loss, some kind of death.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to persevere. He's trying to endure, and he's made some very brave decisions in the recent past. What's coming up for him is he needs to face a fear, some kind of insecurity caused by the douchebag.
Now, what kind of cards? I see you looking down.
I have
reading.
A douchebag card. I have
now, what
three
card is that? What are those cards?
One of them's the devil. One of them's the knight of wands.
Ooh.
And the other one is the three of swords, which is that's the major douchebag. That's the major loss.
Three of swords is.
Can
wow,
we can we
okay.
delve deeper into this douchebag? Is there one particular douchebag, or are there multiple smaller douchebags?
I can ask the cards.
Ask the cards about the. Is this douchebag still with us?
Okay, let's find out.
Oh, there she goes.
Actually, this is a very selfish person. They're very predatorial, and they are going to be in his future as well.
Wow!
This person has addiction problems. They're very antisocial. I don't think it's you guys because this is an introverted sort of sleazy.
Wait a minute.
Energy.
Could he be talking about himself?
Josh the douchebag?
I was just going to ask.
Is he is his own enemy?
Is he his own douchebag?
Oh, are you the enemy the douche?
It's me.
Now, let me ask you about that deck of cards. It seems pretty thick. Is that a normal deck of tarot cards? Or
I guess if you want to put normal in.
I mean, but how many are in a deck? Is there a number?
I'm sure, but not at this hour. I don't.
You don't know. You just have.
I just
you
do
have
it.
The deck.
Yeah, I just do it.
I always thought it was like a, I don't know, like 20 cards.
I think it's 23 or 25.
Okay.
You know, I believe that you're legit. Is that I don't feel like you're selling us on anything. I'm not feeling a grift from you.
And I tried to tell her something, and she said, don't tell me.
Well, I can't. I got an imagination. Yeah. I'm getting my own dang way.
Right, hell yeah. Right.
So, yeah, that shows that, you know, you want to go in fresh.
Yeah, you want to go in fresh. You want to go in clean. I heard, were you discussing something about his profession?
His job?
Yeah, he's definitely, if he gets where he needs to be, if he brushes up and faces some of his fears, which are about inadequacy, he is going to wind up networking and actually growing and improving. And
yeah.
He had somebody visit him from the other side, as silly as that sounds. But
what card is that?
The Hierophant. That's one of my...
bad card.
Mm-hmm. No, the visitor card. Well, this person was bad to you in life.
Okay.
But they are very proud of you now, and they really couldn't rest without you knowing.
It's that Russian masseuse, man.
Ooh.
But
this is heavy.
The trouble that he is going to have is the bad penny that keeps coming back. And this is a very addictive personality. This is someone that knows how to play with him.
Do you have a lover that you're not telling us about?
A lover?
Yeah.
What's her name?
I don't know who this person is.
No, I don't have a lover.
Cycling back through your life.
No.
I don't sense that this is a lover.
Not a lover.
So a bad penny, what does that mean? A bad person?
It's somebody that won't go away.
Oh.
Somebody that you can't avoid from time to time. They just keep coming back to darken your doorway, basically.
Whoa.
And it's
somebody that says... pushes the right buttons on him.
Maybe our boss, Rick.
Yeah. Old dirty Penny Strauss. The old filthy Penny back there.
And what is the what do you see in the future? You said he's going to persevere. He's going to make some...
He's definitely going to do good. He's going to do a little bit of healing because he has to. There has been loss. There is grief. And he has to confront it. When he's done with that, I see his social skills getting better and improving.
What?
I see him being a little more open.
I like him as is.
And networking. I see him networking.
Okay. I agree, because he is going through something, and I think, you know, once you make it through that storm, the skies are going to open up, and he's going to be a different...
I think he's going to be more...
He's going to learn a lot about himself.
It's darkest before the dawn.
Well, right, of course.
He's playing a role on people to cope, and he's been doing this for a while, according to the cards. And it's putting him a little out of control because he's doing things that he knows he doesn't believe in the recent past. And he's stepping out of line with his own comfort zones. And so he's probably internalizing all of that. And that's what's got him a little off, if you don't mind me saying.
No.
I hope you're taking a ton of drugs when we're not around.
I'm taking so many drugs.
Yeah.
So many drugs.
When does this healing... begin? When does this ascension begin?
Yeah, it's
right now.
It's the next 72 hours.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa!
And then into September the 5th.
That's no warning. I don't have enough warning.
Into September the 5th? That's 1 week from today.
Yeah, he's definitely... You're ready.
The douchebag is Mills.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of Mickey. We're getting a lot of Mickey and Mills.
Mickey and Mills.
Just don't let it be me.
I saw Mickey Friday night. Shout out, looks great.
What's up, buddy?
Doing good.
Anything else that you told me that you want to share? I don't remember everything.
Did anything about us three, these three gentlemen in the room? Did they come into? Nope.
No.
Shaking your head no. All right, cool. You're not selling me on a story.
What is? I mean, is there like a? A standout overall theme, or is it just kind of what you said? It's
douche
like he's going through some stuff. He's got a person that's recurring in his life that he might need to get rid of, but he's going through some stuff.
He needs to face this person. This person is berating him, and he's internalizing it, and it's holding
him back. Kick this person's ass.
I feel like the person is threatened by him somehow and
Let me
jealous.
Write this down. Could this be a possibility?
Let me get a look. Show that to me.
Is one of them maybe a little too...
I don't think so.
Ooh, no? Interesting theory, though.
I don't know anybody. I don't know who...
That's why I'm asking this. Well, because they seem like they might be a little like this at you sometimes. You know, come on, they're like this at you.
Overbearing, maybe.
It's causing him to internalize things.
Of course it is.
And it's one of the reasons he's going away from his company.
You're a grown man, dude. Live your life. Listen to me. Live your life. You're a grown man. Don't let people hold you down or control you or judge you. You're a good man and you're doing good things.
I think it's Mike Anderson.
No.
No, not him.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Thank God.
Somebody says they're getting chills.
He's got a great energy.
Somebody says they're getting chills out there from this. I'm getting a little bit chills. I got emotional. I told you I did.
Tarot and Charms, Ms. Lucy. N.S. Ms. Lucy. Look her up on Facebook.
Where do you set up shop?
Where do you go?
I'm at Poplar and I'm doing a show tonight.
You're at the Poplar?
Yeah.
Out there at the Poplar, hon?
Hey, hon.
Do you want to go to the Poplar tonight?
The Poplar.
Let's go to the Poplar and I'll drink afterwards back at your place and get too drunk to be able to go home and have to sleep on your sofa.
It's a good time. And Elise Maxwell is the bartender there. She will hook you guys up if you're friends with me.
What's your Instagram page? People are asking.
Probably Miss Lucy. If it's not Miss Lucy, it'll be Lucy Black. LuciBlack.
Love it. Well, this has been eye-opening. People love it. And I'm looking at some of the jewelry you make, too. Do you do jewelry and charms?
Oh, absolutely.
Ah, nice.
Oh, you're wearing? Do you make that?
Yep.
I like that.
Oh, I would love a brooch. I would love a brooch.
I have an odd brooch.
I really want to find you on Instagram because I want to stalk you because I'm turned on by you.
Yeah, I got to say, I am... My green beans are steamed up for you.
I have not found her yet.
We're going to keep looking.
Yep. Spiggs, did anything in particular resonate with you? Anything stand
out? How you feeling? Anything?
I feel good. It was a good experience. She's very good. Good communicator. I don't know. I think I have to digest everything.
Should people be frightened by this, Miss Lucy?
No. No, I don't, and I don't believe anyone should believe in it either.
What?
What?
You just undid the whole thing.
No,
let her explain herself.
Okay.
No, I don't believe it's healthy to believe in this kind. I think you just take it in as an emotional experience and put it as a part of the process. But it's for it is entertainment. It really is.
Are you high right now?
No. Why,
later.
You got some?
Damn it.
That's later.
Yeah.
At the Poplar.
That's later at the Poplar tonight.
Go down to Poplar.
Please
go.
But is the stuff you told me true?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
But I'm saying don't.
Don't take it as scripture.
Yeah, okay. It's not the be all end all. It's just a piece.
Yeah.
It's just a piece.
Are you spoken for? Is there a gentleman? Is there a Mr. Lucy?
Yes.
There is? Damn it.
Damn it. You're done.